Your work week is over.
The plant called and said if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome into The Last Word. This is the weekly off-season radio show of your Colts, airing every Friday right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. I'm Jeffrey Gorman, joined along the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor. Hey, Matey, how are you today? I got to give some news on you to the folks listening.
Okay.
What a great story, folks.
Am I aware of this or
no? A little bit. By the way, we're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Don't forget, make every moment more. But, Matey, what I love about you is how many times a state champion in high school football for you when you were playing?
Two.
That's two for the voice of the Colts. Now, the best part about it is I love, and once a year I remind all of the Colts fans out there, we got the best in the business on play-by-play, but when he was playing football in college at Franklin College, right down the street, correct?
Yeah.
You would go up to the media box in your pads.
The press box, yes.
Take your helmet up, press box, yeah, and set up the radio portion of covering the game, and you put all the bells and whistles and wires together with your helmet by your side in full pads.
I got everybody on the air for a game that I was going to play in.
That's it.
In a nutshell.
I'm telling you, one day we will see the story, the Matt Taylor story, come to your television set.
I don't think anybody's watching that.
I'm entering your seventh
sorry
season.
Sorry about you. Yeah.
Congrats on that, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
Best in the business and a young buck doing it, too. All right, coming up on tonight's show, going to break down the Colts using the franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr. this week. We're also going to have Shane Steichen right here in studio as he talks about Pittman's importance to the Colts and his thoughts on the offseason draft and whatnot coming up so far. And in segment two, we're going to break down that draft, some positional depth with Emory Hunt. You want to listen to him. He's great. NFL Draft Insider from CBS. But Matey, the news of the week before free agency starts next week, the Colts place the non-exclusive tag on wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. The tag carries a value of $21.8 million for wide receivers. Matey, it's all yours. Tell me what this means.
Well, this move doesn't preclude, if you will, the Colts and Michael Pittman Jr. agreeing on a long-term contract in the next couple of months. An extension can still be achieved prior to July 15th. That's the deadline, so they have until the summer. But failing that, Pittman would play next season under the one-year deal, and the two sides would be in this exact same situation next offseason with Pittman going into free agency again. The non-exclusive tag allows Pittman to negotiate with other teams and potentially sign what's called an offer sheet with another team.
But
if that's done, the Colts can match in every detail in the offer and keep Pittman or allow him to sign elsewhere.
But what did the Colts get?
And then receive two first-round draft picks
there
as compensation.
That,
so that's the parameters of all this.
That's the thing. Michael Pittman Jr., according to Chris Ballard last week, the NFL Combine, he ain't going nowhere.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? So it's in. And, you know, we're looking at both sides and what happened, and obviously a huge payday for Michael Pittman Jr. There's no risk at this point, Matt. I mean, we got to pencil him in on the outside one way or another, franchise tag or extension.
Correct. I mean, and that's why, you know, if a contract extension wasn't going to be finalized by the tag deadline of this week, I think it was Tuesday at 4 o'clock, it was important to place the franchise tag, the non-exclusive franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr. so that he doesn't hit the open market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've said, Pittman probably doesn't love getting the franchise tag. I don't think any player would. But from a Colts standpoint, it prevents him from hitting the open market, becoming a free agent. It ensures Pittman's going to make $20-plus million next year, as you said, and the two sides can continue to negotiate the parameters of a contract extension until mid-July. But considering, again, what Pittman has produced, what he means to this team, what he means to the offense, the type of guy that he is, the type of buy-in that you have from him all around, right, in the running game, it was important to keep one of your most important offensive weapons on this team for next season and hopefully beyond as they continue to talk.
Earlier this week, Matey and I caught up with Shane Steichen right here in the radio studio talking about Michael Pittman Jr.'s importance to the Colts, Anthony Richardson's ongoing rehab, and his involvement in the draft process coming up. Shane Steichen, you're an offensive guy. You're a gunslinger from UNLV. You know you're offensive. Some people have called you a young Tom Moore. I'm just telling you what they say, Coach. So you go into a combine situation, you got all these bells and whistles and shiny bright things that score touchdowns everywhere. How tough is it for you in a draft being an offensive mind and the comfortability you have to work with general manager Chris Ballard? Because as an offensive guy, you go, give me him, give me him, give me him, and I'll put up 50 a game.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I have a great working relationship with Chris, and you know, obviously being here with Chris for a year now, and seeing how he sees players, it's interesting because we kind of see things similar, which is great. But we also have our ideas on certain things. But I love working with Chris. I love everything about it. Love the organization and going through the draft process. People always ask, like, hey, man, you watching all these college football games? I'm getting ready for our game on Sunday, but I'm going to watch some college football and watch these prospects when the season ends. So that part's been awesome. We're going through that process right now. And obviously, you know, getting eyes on them at the combine is huge. That's kind of when you first start seeing them. Credit to these scouts. I think about what these scouts do in our organization. You know, 364 days a year, they're grinding. Looking at these players, you know, that can't go unnoticed. What they do and the work they put in is unbelievable. So it's a great group to be around.
Shane, speaking of Chris, he said at the Combine that Michael Pittman Jr., he's going to be on this team next year in some form, some fashion. You guys are going to get it done and find a way. That started this week with the Colts placing the non-exclusive franchise tag on Pittman. What does he mean to this team? How important is Michael Pittman Jr. to this group, both on and off the field?
I think just the consistency. Like, you're getting the same guy. Mm-hmm. You're getting the same guy in the meeting rooms. You're getting the same guy on the practice field, and you're getting the same guy on Sundays. And this guy shows up, and he makes plays for us, and he's been doing it, you know, long before I got here.
Right.
And he did it again last year for us. So the consistency, the toughness that he plays with is unmatched.
Head coach Shane Steichen right here on The Last Word. Coach, we saw the importance of the backup running back last year. We saw the importance of the backup quarterback, offensive guy, once again. The importance of having a quality guy behind Jonathan Taylor and a quality backup behind Anthony Richardson. Not taking away anything from Zach or Gardner, but how much, you know, input do you have on that position on the roster?
Yeah, no, I think that's a big spot because, you know what, I mean, sometimes things happen in this league, as we saw. I mean, there were so many guys that played in that backup role last year, especially at the quarterback spot, so you got to make sure you have a guy that you feel confident in if he has to go in and step in and play, and shoot, that's what Gardner did for us last year, and same thing with Zach Moss stepping into that role. Obviously, he was coming off the arm in training camp, and then he comes in against, you know, Houston, and I don't think he might have missed one snap, and he got all those carries, and he took off, and he was leading the league in rushing, you know, whatever it was through week six, but he was a huge huge deal for us last year.
Coach, what kind of communication are you having with Anthony Richardson during his rehab, and how positive is that going?
It's going great. I'm obviously in communication with him, talking to him on the phone. You know, you guys seen on social media him throwing the football around. He's in great spirits. He's looking good. I'm not going to put a timetable on his return, but
sure.
You know, he's looking good. He's excited. He's looking forward to the future.
When he does come back in the spring, what do you want to see from him? I know you're not going to put a timeline on he's got to be throwing by this time or doing this by this time, but what are the next steps you want to see out of
him? Just growth. I mean, obviously going into year two, you know, he didn't get a full year under his belt. You know, he played whatever it was, four games, and but he did some really good things for us. So we really want to improve on the things that he did well and then obviously take the next step. In his growth next year.
The accolades all across the league, Coach, about your first year, what you did great offensively, getting this team in the position they did without Anthony. How do you get better? What are the things that you write down to get better as a head coach in year two?
You know, I go through that process. I'm going through that right now. I'm going back and looking at, you know, things we did, whether it's administrative things that we can get better at, that I can get better at, football-wise, schematically, that we can get better at, and how do we see that growth? And I think that's through tape study. That's through going back, looking at team meetings, different things that you can do, and just continue to, you know, motivate and be a leader of the football team.
Coach, this might be a silly question, has the dust settled on the 2023 season for you? How much do you still think about, you know, week 18?
I'm not going to lie, I do think about it. You know
sure.
what I mean? I mean, we're that close, but it drives me, and I know it drives these players in this organization. As I said it at the end of the year, I think we're right there. I really do. And I think we, in order to get even over the hump there next year, we got to work even harder. And I think, you know, within time, right, sometimes things take a little bit of time. We don't want to take too long, but we want to take that next step next year for sure.
Coach, we'll throw to score, run to win, be your mantra for as long as you're an NFL head coach?
As of right now, yes, it will. I don't know. I just believe in that. I think you throw to score points, you know, and I think if you look at some of the games last year, some of those games played out that way. Does it always play out that way? No. I mean, you're kind of do what you feel is best in that situation. You always have a thought of what you want it to look like come Sunday. But sometimes that plan might change in the middle of the second quarter, going, ooh, shoot, we're not throwing it very good, but we are running it. Let's keep running it.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how the game goes. You know, we've been into games like, oh, shoot, man, this is a really, really good defense, and this is a really good – this is probably going to be a low-scoring game, and the next thing you know, it's 35-38. We're like, what the heck just happened? Like, so you never know how the game's going to play out, and you just got to roll with those punches and adjust during game day.
Last one for me, Coach. We've talked about this before, but how involved – will you be in the draft room in those decisions? For those that don't know, what is your life like when it comes to the draft process between now and the end of April?
Yeah, I just go through, you know, Chris and his staff do a heck of a job evaluating those guys. I get the list from them. I go through, I watch all the guys. We have discussions about them. And ultimately, obviously, Chris is the general manager to make the final decision. But love everything about Chris. And like I said, we're on the same page, so feel really good about it.
Shane Steichen, head coach of your Indianapolis Colts. Hey, readers always write in. We got one last question for you. It's a non-football question now, Coach. Ready up?
I don't know if I'll be able to answer if it's not football, but go ahead.
Here we go. The first concert ever attended by Shane Steichen.
Tim McGraw.
Really? There when was go. This? All Where right. was this?
Arco Arena, Sacramento. I was probably I was going into my senior year of high school with my now wife.
There you go. Date night.
Yeah, it was date night.
Yeah.
Went and saw Tim McGraw, Arco Arena.
We're going to let him know. We're going to have him out to the stadium this year and just rekindle that friendship one time pregame. What do you say?
I love it.
All right. Shane Steichen right there. Shane Steichen admitting he spent 2.7 seconds on a bowl named Fu Manchu. Remember that Tim McGraw
song? You
think that's
his favorite Tim McGraw song?
I'm saying, heck yeah, it's one of the best.
That's a good indoctrination to your first concert.
Skydiving. Yeah, heck yeah. Shane Steichen. Hey, McGraw, if you're listening, come on out. We got you covered.
You should have asked him if you wore cowboy boots to Arco Arena back in the
day. Probably back in the day. Hey, we'll have more coming up with Shane Steichen all throughout the preseason, obviously offseason rather, into that preseason. You can find out all the information on Colts.com. When we come back, we're going to hear from Emory Hunt, the NFL draft insider from CBS. He's going to break down the best positional values in the draft and what he thinks might be the best play for the Colts with the 15th pick in the first round. For Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. This is The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Welcome back to The Last Word. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. We just heard from Shane Steichen, the head coach. Obviously excited with what's coming up in free agency and the draft. But earlier at the Combine, Maytay and I, we talked with Emory Hunt. Last week, we chatted about Anthony Richardson's ceiling going into year two and some players to keep an eye on for the Colts in the first round. But we led off with the position that he thinks is the deepest going into this year's NFL draft.
I would say wide receiver. And I think that's the deepest group. And I'm not surprised because as we know how the college game has gone to where you're seeing more 4 and 5 wide receiver sets, which means you're also going to see probably more, you know, nickel and dime defenses. So receiver and defensive back are going to always be the deepest. But right now, I would say wide receiver, because how elite the top is. When I say top, I'm talking about 10 to 12 guys. And then that pushes great depth down all the way throughout the different positions. Because I grade them split, flanker, I'm old, receiver, slot, and big inside receiver. So I grade 4 different receiver positions. So from what I've seen, it's a pretty good class.
Hey, Emory, the quarterback, we were talking off air right before you got on about like Anthony's year as a rookie year, but the quarterbacks from last year's draft to this year's draft, do you see that sort of same thing? Because there's 4 guys' names that are being thrown around in the top 10, top 15 picks this year that potentially 4 could go off the board early. Do you see it?
Well, yeah, and last year, Anthony Richardson was my QB1. He was number 1. I had Bryce Young number 2 and C.J. Stroud number 3, mm-hmm. but I had all 3 with the same grades. So I thought you couldn't go wrong with anyone, but I preferred Anthony Richardson. This year, my top 5, Caleb Williams, who has a 90 grade. Second is Jaden Daniels. Third is Spencer Rattler. I've been on the Spencer Rattler train. I feel like this guy has had a full pro career already in college because he started out great, then had the downward spiral at Oklahoma, started off inconsistent at South Carolina. Last 6 games of last year, he did great, and then he carried it over this year despite the offensive line issues. So he's my number 3. Number 4 is going to be a bit of a surprise. Had he not gotten injured, he would have played in all these All-Star games. Jordan Travis. What I love about Jordan Travis is the ball just moves. Like, I call him the Malcolm X of quarterbacks. It's by any means necessary. The right. ball is going down the field. He's moving the sticks, right? So the offense moves, and he gets even better inside the red zone where it counts. Kind of like Josh Allen inside the red zone where he can lock in and don't turn the ball over.
Right.
And number five is Drake May. Okay. I like Drake May. But I feel like with Drake May, it's when you're watching the games, you're kind of sitting back wondering, okay, yeah, he's good, but what's the it? Like, what's the reason why everybody's drawn to – what's the trait? Like, let's say with Richardson, it was the athleticism on the deep ball. With Stroud, it was his ability to lock in crucial situations. With Bryce Young, it was his ability to create off script. What's the it with Drake May? And I feel like that's not there yet, which is why he's my five. I feel he's a late first, early second round type talent.
Okay.
But it still has upside because he came out early, and that's what you want in someone. Okay, we can still groom him and develop him to be that guy.
Emory Hunt is our guest from CBS. You mentioned that Anthony Richardson, he was your top guy last year. And we were talking right before we hit the record button that you feel that if he were to have stayed healthy last year, the Colts may have won the division. That's how strongly you feel. That's how convicted you are in terms of his growth, his potential early on as a rookie. With that said, how much of the book is still out on Anthony Richardson because he did only play 173 snaps? I mean, how much of an incomplete does he get in your book from what you saw as a rookie?
I'm smiling because there's different levels to this, right? It's like the role Heath Ledger did in Batman, right? He never got to see the movie. When Michael Vick was supposed to be paired with Bobby Petrino, he never got to work with Vick, but then we saw what it looked like when he worked with Lamar.
Right.
Watching that Rams game, I was like,
wait
until they get Jonathan Taylor paired with this dude. Game over. They're going to average 35 points a game. He's going to probably have 2,000 yards rushing, Jonathan Taylor, because the box will be light. You got to keep the backside defender. And we never got to see it. So toward the back end, Alec Pierce finally started to catch football and not have tender forms where you just tap him and the ball comes out. So now you have him and Pittman and you have the tight ends where I was like, man, we never got to see the picture. And so I'm excited for this year. Health permitting, we see the full-fledged – because I was rewind, and a clip came out early in the week that I responded to with the video clip of my evidence. This was in 2018. I was trying to tell everybody, if I was the Browns with picks 1 and 4, I'm taking Saquon 1 because I knew the Giants were wanting him. I'm taking Lamar at 4, and I'm going to lead the league in rushing for the next decade. So I look at what potentially could be with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor with the run game, the play-action pass game, the weapons they have at tight end, the offensive line improving, and the potential to add receiver. Like, this team, everyone's talking about the Texans right now, but this is a team that could win a division legitimately.
And those two guys, Richardson and Taylor, played a combined 2 snaps together last year.
We never got to see the movie.
And it's excruciating because of the way Week 18 went, losing to the Texans, all of these things on the sidelines that all these toys you're not able to play with, so to speak.
And the thing is, when you watch how the Colts did such a great job drafting last year and acquiring talent in the undrafted free agent market, I include that with the draft grade. So I gave them an A+ because I thought from top to bottom that they did really well. Got the long corners. They got depth along the defensive line. They were able to add some pieces to accentuate Anthony Richardson. Josh Downs is a guy that I think is going to be outstanding coming off play action. He started to come along toward the back end of the season.
Where'd you have him last year?
Downs?
Yeah.
He was one of my top slots. I can't remember offhand, but I know he had a really good grade as a slot guy.
Yeah.
A plug-and-play guy because he creates so much space without the ball. When you watch him at North Carolina, you see he's open a lot. You know, but only so many times you can get the football, but he's open all the time. And now you factor in how wide that is, like you're playing in the CFL when you have the quarterback that creates space with Wise, the receiver that can operate in a parking lot with space like Downs, and you have the back that you have to. It's the Colts are a matchup nightmare, to be honest.
I love it. Emory Hunt right there, NFL insider from CBS. I could do this stuff all day because I love talking about last year and stuff, but like we saw a guy like Nacua last year, 5th rounder, go crazy. I mean, put on that year. System or was it the player in Europe? Opinion and like, where do you have a guy like that had a dominant year as a 5th rounder? Are those guys available this draft as well? I mean,
absolutely. And I always tell people because I see this a lot on social media, the draft is bigger than 1 round. There's only 32 picks in the 1st round, and if you watch social media, there's like 15 top 10 locks, right? So not everybody can go top 10. Everybody can go in the 1st round. So the draft is bigger than that, right? And with Nacua's case, I will say this. I think his drop happened because of what happened at the Senior Bowl. the first practice at the Senior Bowl, he had a great catch on the sideline in one-on-ones. Hit his head on the field when he fell, had a concussion, was out the whole week. People probably were worried about concussions, uh-huh. and so that's why he dropped. But the talent was evident on film. There's a ton of guys like that in the draft here for the Colts to acquire. In this draft, to me, you're always going to find guys like those. I call them those big inside receivers. They're technically not explosive enough to be an X, but you kind of like them like that 4x4 alignment to where they can work right. inside, but they can also block well, but they also get open. They're good route runners. They're good after the catch. It's a bunch of those guys in this class that fit the mold. You may not get a you may get a bigger slot guy that's like 6'1", 218, but you also have guys throughout the draft that can fit that role. So there's a bunch of guys. That one name that comes to mind, Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross. I was at the College Gridiron Showcase. I cover a lot of FCS, but I call a lot of FCS games. Mm-hmm. So I've seen Holy Cross a lot. And Coker went out to the Hula Bowl, dominated, physically dominated, and then got the call up to the Shrine Bowl and just continued to do that against Power 5 competition on a consistent basis. So he is someone, he may not run a blazing 40, but who cares? He gets open, he's physical, he's great after the catch. He can play inside as a slot, he mm-hmm. blocks well, and he's good at the catch point.
That's Emory Hunt, NFL Draft Insider, CBS. He's also the owner of Football Game Plan. You got the polo right there. You got the little.
Tell us about that. Football Game Plan.
Yeah, what's the slogan there?
Well, where football makes sense.
Okay, all right.
See, because I don't like to brag on myself. I just tell the truth.
Go ahead.
It seems
go
like
ahead.
Brag, right? So where we had, like, these players ranked, right? No one was – and the clips are there. So July of 2022, I came out. I was on Sirius XM radio, and I said – Anthony Richardson is the best quarterback in the country. He had played 9 games. So naturally, everybody hit the Twitter. It was like, this dude is crazy. Yeah. Like, what is he talking about? He barely started. And then after the first game, everybody's like, oh, he should be the highest winner. He should be number one. I'm just sitting back like, y'all say I was dumb. And so I'm saying that because Football Game Plan, we tend to think independently. Mm-hmm. And whether I'd rather be wrong by myself than wrong in a group. And our draft guide is the largest out there, over 1,000 individual scouting reports. You can pre-order the 2024 guide at footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. We're going to have guys all in there from, let's say, I was here last year on CBS, and they were asking me, who's one of your sleepers for running backs, right? I was like, well, we don't have to travel far. We can go right down the street to Toriana Clinton at University of Indianapolis, the Greyhounds. No mm-hmm. one knew who the hell he was.
Right.
He ends up on the Colts.
Yeah.
Preseason.
Yeah.
So it was like, that's how deep we go.
You want to get smarter? Go to footballgameplan.com. We're talking to Emory Hunt from CBS. You know, this draft, Matt was talking about these guys not throwing and such like that, and where they drop or where they go up. And we're seeing quarterbacks in these small school quarterbacks. I'm just going to put you on the spot because we're going to talk to you next year.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a fifth, give me a sixth, give me a seventh rounder that's going to make an impact for a football team this year outside of special teams.
It's funny because there's a couple of – you said quarterbacks, right?
No, sir.
Just general.
Fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders that will make a difference. Specials are specials.
Okay.
But somebody's making a difference on the field.
John Giles, the wide receiver from West Florida.
Write that down right now, Casey Valier.
214. And this is someone – and this is why I love going to all the different All-Star games because you get to see – at every level, guys that make moves, and you get to kind of watch what teams gravitate toward mm-hmm. certain players after practice. That's always the nonverbal cues of, like, I remember last year there was a particular team that ended up bringing this guy into camp that at the College Gridiron Showcase, every rep he had, they put their notebooks down, like, we got to watch this. So it's like they kind of, I was sitting behind, I was like, oh, they love this dude, and he ended up in their camp. But John Giles was at the College Gridiron Showcase, received out of West Florida, the Argonauts, Division II power, did a great thing down there. It felt like he was dominating and he was on cruise control. Like, releases were where he needed to be, speed to separate, hands catching away from his body. Got the call up to the Hula Bowl short notice because somebody got hurt. He got called up, came in there on a short week, dominated, and had a really good game as well.
Right.
And he is someone, then you go back and watch his games against Florida A&M, who has two guys in the secondary is going to be 2025 draft pick. So it's a good, D2 versus FCS, a good FCS team. He was open a lot in that game. Quarterback just couldn't throw him the ball. So John Giles has the size, the athleticism, the hands, everything that you want. I think he's going to end up in the Campus Surprise.
Awesome. We're going to write that down. And you know how to pick him, Emory, so we're on this one. Not only that, if I get a minute with Ballard, I'm going to say, hey, check out the Giles. Check out the Giles kid.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. Yeah, Jeffrey Gorman in the war room right there. Last one for me, Emory. You know, speaking of Chris Ballard there at the end of the season, at his end of the year press conference, he really made no bones about it. The Colts need to be more explosive on offense, right? More chunk plays help supplement Anthony Richardson, help complement the running game with Richardson and with Jonathan Taylor. With that in mind, who are some of the guys that might be there for the Colts at pick number 15 if they choose to go that route, a guy that catches the ball that would obviously add a lot more pop within their offense?
Now, listen, despite my appearance, I may be the illegitimate child of Al Davis, right?
Okay.
Because I am always going to gamble on speed.
Mm-hmm.
So Troy Franklin can legit fly. He's a lean built guy, right? He's built like an aux cord. I get it. But he can definitely fly. And I think he has the ability to add weight to his frame and not lose that athleticism. And when you're watching his route running, he doesn't run like a fast guy only. He runs routes like he's a nuanced receiver.
Sure.
And so I think when you combine him with what you have in Josh Downs and what you have in all the backs of speed, you want to create a situation where it's impossible to cover. And Franklin, to me, especially with I expect the run-on receivers to happen early in this draft class, at 15, I would be hard-pressed to not take him.
All right, you heard it right there. Get smarter at football, folks. It's easy. Go to footballgameplan.com. Emory Hunter is our guest right here from CBS talking about this draft. We are going to talk to you after the draft, and we're going to talk to you more about this upcoming season with your guy, Anthony Richardson. Quickly, the future's bright for this Colts team in your eyes.
AFC South Champions 2024, book it.
Book that. Damn. We need Emory Hunter
on the
table,
show more.
Man. Appreciate
Absolutely.
The time. Have fun the next couple of weeks, and enjoy what you do and keep doing it. You're fun to follow on this stuff, and as far as picking your brain goes, Emory, I could do this for about 4 hours, so give me a long one next time, will you?
Anytime, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Big thanks to Emory Hunt right there. Fans, don't forget, check him out, footballgameplan.com. He is an up-and-comer and obviously knows this game. Emory Hunt, appreciate all
Good dude, knows his stuff.
No,
man.
That's what I mean, man. Right. We got this guy. You may not know the name right now, but you will. Thanks, Emory Hunt, one of the best in the business right there. Be sure to follow him again at footballgameplan.com. Also, be sure to check out the latest on the Colts Audio Network, available now on YouTube, Colts.com, Colts mobile app, and wherever you download your podcast. There are a lot of free agency previews on that audio network. Good job to you, Maytay.
Appreciate you.
Fans ready. Next week, free agency is upon us. When we come back right here, we're going to give you the Forum Credit Union question of the week regarding this free agency season starting next week, and showcase. Casey Vallier is going to join us for a version of Come On, Casey. A whole lot more coming back right here on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to The Last Word, the offseason home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
That's right. Welcome back to The Last Word right here. 93.5, 107.5, The Fan, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Last Word also brought to you by Meijer. Meijer, the official supercenter of the Indianapolis Colts. Proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. And a big thanks to Paul Simon right there for showing up
today.
Thank you,
Paul.
Thank you. Talking about his friend Al right now. Forum Credit Union.
Happy Friday, Paul.
Of the week. Casey Vallier, by the way, Showcase is here. We're going to get to Come On, Casey, in a minute. But you are in on this Forum Credit Union question of the week, Casey Vallier. Maytay, you got your thinking cap on?
Always.
All right, here we go. Forum Credit Union question of the week in the upcoming NFL draft. There are slated to be a dozen notable sons of NFL fathers. Among the most prominent, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., son of our Marvin Harrison. Southern Miss's Frank Gore. We remember Frank here.
Yeah.
He's got his son Frank Gore from Southern Miss. USC wide receiver Brendan Rice, a kid who I like. Son of Hall of Fame legend Jerry Rice. Michigan defensive end Chris Jenkins. Son of Chris Jenkins. Remember the Carolina. How about this? Luke McCaffrey. He's not the only son.
We need to get
former...
more creative in our names, yeah. I guess.
I guess. But listen to McCaffrey's. You got Luke McCaffrey coming out here. Brother of Christian McCaffrey, son of Eddie McCaffrey. He's coming out of Rice. He's a boiled owl.
Yeah.
Is that what they call him, the Rice boiled owls? All right, boys. What's the common era draft record for most players selected in a draft whose father played in the NFL? I happen to know this one. I'm going to give you a hint. Back in the day, Super Bowl champion Monte Rager a couple of years back had his son Jalen Rager.
Jalen, yeah.
Picked up by the Eagles, I believe, is the draft team that he went to. But, that was back in the day a little bit. What year was that? And give me some names from that draft.
So that would have been Oh, it was the same year as Justin Jefferson, because that's what a lot of people...
Well, that wasn't that long ago then.
So it would have been 2020?
Yeah, Casey Bellier.
Is that it?
Came out of the parking lot
well,
and got
had
it right.
Michael Pittman and his dad.
That's the obvious one right there. Michael Pittman Sr. and Jr. There's a whole bunch of other ones, but it's 2020 and it's happened again. That's the...
Well, how many was it that year?
That was a total of 11.
Wow.
That would help, right?
Yeah, I kind of need to know that.
You kind of know. I'm going by the year, and you guys are like, how many, idiot?
What's the record? Oh,
he's
tell me.
Well. It's like Jeopardy. What's
Why
the
don't
answer?
You tell me the name of the movie?
I'm going to keep it. Case, good side phone call there. Hey, visit the Forum Credit Union fan forum section at Colts.com.
You've reached movie phone.
Don't keep it. Let me get this out.
Hold All right,
on.
Sorry.
Please, please, please. You can interact with other fans. I can see it in my eye right
I know.
Now. Don't do
Frank
that.
Kramer just sitting on the couch.
Why don't you just tell me?
Why don't you tell me the name of the movie you want to see?
Anyway, Forum Credit Union, I mean, your money, your voice, helping members live their financial dreams. Go to forumcreditunion.com. Come on, Casey.
What are you talking about?
What the hell's going on out here?
What you talking about, Will?
You talking to me?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Who cares?
Hey, we call it. Come on, Casey. He's coming in spitting fire. Facts and figures and stats that'll be unbelievable. We're going to give it a crack. Showcase, what do you got today?
So now the calendar has turned over to March. We all turn our attention to March Madness and brackets and everything. We've got conference tournaments going on now. Next week we'll have the Power 5 conference tournaments. But did you know that March Madness was actually coined in Illinois to start high school state championship basketball?
Wow. No, I did not know that.
Yes, in 1939, Henry Potter... He led his Athens High School to a second-place finish in the Illinois State Championship, and then he wrote an article in the Illinois High School Athlete magazine, and it said, "A little March Madness may complement and contribute to sanity and help keep society on an even keel." The irony in that is that was the first year of the NCAA tournament in 1939. Now, Brent Musburger has been coined as the guy to label the college basketball March Madness when they elevated the total teams to 64 back in the 80s. So that was when, you know, the term March Madness, when it comes to college basketball,
we owe it to Musburger, huh?
But, you know, it started as a high school basketball. I know right now in Indiana, high school championships are starting to roll around. We got
Hoosier Hysteria.
So Hoosier Hysteria in full form. But yeah, March Madness was originally coined in high school.
What was the guy's name? What was the author?
Henry Potter.
Henry Potter.
He was a teacher,
a coach, and then he became an administrator and wrote an article and talked about how March Madness essentially was all about high school sports in Illinois. So
all right.
There you go.
The more you know.
The more you know.
And if that team played in this area, Coach, you'd been waxed. You know what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. Different game back then, right?
Yeah.
Are we kidding around
right
here? God.
Karma would wipe you on the floor.
That's what I'm saying.
They never played Lawrence Central.
What are those? I mean, you're using house slippers as basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot. What are we doing here? All right, listen, have fun weekend. We got some rain coming on. We got a little bit of weather coming on. Maytay, what's going on for you this weekend?
I got a free weekend before free agency gets nuts. Madness.
Let's go. We got free agency frenzy coming up
next week with the legal tampering period, and then Wednesday, all hell is going to break loose. So it's going to be fun.
All right. Well, we cannot wait for that, because all Colts fans are waiting. What will Ballard do? NFL free agency is upon us. But got to take care of your own. Remember, Casey, we've got some in-house guys that don't want to let go. So follow all the information you need on the Colts right at Colts.com. For Matt Taylor, Casey Bellier, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. This is The Last Word on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Coming up next, ESPN Radio.